time now for the 1215 News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's Fairfield area weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 92. Tonight, clear with a low of 68. I'm Jeff Vaughn, reporting the news. William Noby and Company and Seidenstricker Implement Company will reportedly partner and jointly operate 26 dealerships in Illinois and Missouri, beginning in January. Area Noby dealerships include locations in Albion, Wayne City, and Norris City. Eddie Seidenstricker said the partnership was a natural step for two multi-generational family businesses to support growth in their industry. Tom Noby said the company's name may be changing, but its customer service and dedication to local communities will not. Seidenstricker Noby Partnerships will have corporate offices in Waterloo, Mexico, Missouri, and the St. Louis metro area. Ted Briscoe, the current CEO of Seidenstricker, will serve as CEO of the partnership as well. More news next.
Like all kids, I love cookies.
Addison Robbins, Deaconess Riley Children's Specialty Center patient.
My favorite, Petey. It's the cookie that pairs from Subway restaurants.
Starting in September, which is Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, every cookie helps Deaconess Riley conquer childhood cancer.
For each cookie you buy, Subway will give 25 cents to Riley, a donation of up to $5,000.
So, September 5th through November 6th, grab a cookie that cares at Subway, only at participating restaurants.
Tom at Greenwood Pest Control is busy making sure all of his customers are taken care of for year-round pest control. Greenwood Pest Control in Flora would like to remind everyone that they're locally owned and operated. Call today at 618-662-3091 and get on the year-round protection plan from Greenwood Pest Control and Flora. They are located at 8177 Hickory Hill Lane.
In other news, two people were lifelighted to a regional hospital after a three-car accident yesterday. According to state police reports, 39-year-old Barnhill resident Travis J. Vaughn was eastbound on Illinois Route 14 about 3 miles southeast of Enfield in a 2006 Chevy Silverado. He was followed by a 2016 Dodge Ram driven by 50-year-old McLeansboro resident Merle E. Langley, and Vaughn slowed to turn onto a county road. 43-year-old Springerton resident Jeremy E. Rush was also eastbound in a 2016 Ford F-150. For unknown reasons, he failed to slow down and struck the rear of Langley's vehicle, which then pushed into the rear of Vaughn. All three trucks came to a rest off the north side of Route 14, and Rush's Ford overturned in a creek. Langley and Rush were flown to a hospital. Vaughn was reportedly uninjured and released at the scene. Rush was later cited for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Illinois State Police responded to the scene, and they were assisted by the White County Sheriff's Department and Ambulance Service, Enfield Fire Department, Lifelight, and IDOT. Two people were booked in the Wayne County Jail in the overnight hours. 40-year-old Wayne City resident Joseph C. Cannon was arrested last night by Wayne County deputies on a Richland County warrant for failure to appear in court on a charge of theft. He was lodged in the jail and held, pending the posting of $395 bond. 43-year-old Fairfield resident Brian S. Medler was arrested early this morning by Fairfield police on charges of driving with a revoked or suspended license and possession of methamphetamine. He was also lodged in the jail, and his bond was set at $270 for the traffic offense. Two Fairfield residents were sentenced in Wayne County Circuit Court yesterday. 30-year-old Ronald D. Stark pleaded guilty to a count of unlawful possession of meth. He was sentenced to 24 months special section probation plus time served and also 30 hours of public service work. Several other counts against him were dismissed per his plea, and Stark was ordered to pay $240.10 in fines and court costs. 57-year-old Philip K. Bailey pleaded guilty to a count of driving with a revoked license, and he was sentenced to 1 year probation along with 30 days in the Wayne County Jail. Several other counts against him were dismissed per his plea. Bailey was ordered to pay $825 in restitution to Debbie Murphy, along with $1,089 in other fines and court costs. A theft charge has been filed against former McLeansboro Light Plant Superintendent James Joyner in Hamilton County Circuit Court. According to Hamilton County State's Attorney Justin Hood, the charge states that Joyner knowingly obtained unauthorized control over city property between December 27, 2017 and January 25, 2019. Items obtained include a plasma cutter, floor jack, compression tester, cooler, lawnmower, battery, protopower, and extension cord. The charge says Joyner intended to permanently deprive the city of the use of said property. The items were valued between $500 and $10,000. Joyner posted $1,500 cash bond yesterday, and he will have his first court appearance tomorrow morning at 9 at the Hamilton County Courthouse. He was suspended without pay in May after being accused of stealing city property. We recorded temperatures of at least 90 degrees 15 days last month, including 11 in the final half of September. When paired with only 2 days of precipitation, where we recorded under an inch and a quarter of rainfall here at the WFIW-WOKZ studios, Doug Anderson says local soybeans have suffered.
The lack of rainfall during the month of September has certainly had an impact on these late-planted soybeans. As you remember from the spring, farmers had a difficult time getting a lot of their crops planted, and there was a lot of soybean fields that were planted in mid-July, which is quite a bit later than typical for around here. And those late-planted soybeans definitely took a hit with the low moisture here in September and the higher temperatures. On the flip side, the warm, dry weather has certainly dried the corn crop down as we enter into harvest, and the farmers are able to allow the grain to dry a little bit more in the field before they harvest and spend less money on gas in their grain dryers.
The manager of the Wayne County Farm Bureau, Anderson, said the benefit to corn over the past month does not outweigh the damage to beans.
There's so many fields out here that were planted late that you know, we really could use a good amount of moisture to help finish this soybean crop off for the year. Of course, farmers are also concerned about an early frost, and I know that seems silly to be talking about an early frost when we have a 90-degree day, but if we do get an early frost, that will also have a very negative impact on the soybean crop that we have out here.
Temperatures today are expected to hit 90 yet again, but highs are forecast to drop 10 to 20 degrees for the rest of the week. The above-average temperatures statewide over the past week gave crops some nice growing days, as we hear in the weekly crop report with Kim Howard.
Temps were nearly 7 degrees above normal, says crop statistician Mark Scheusener, pushing 85% of corn to the dense stage.
Only 40% of corn acres are rated as mature, well below the normal pace of 86. 4% of acres have been harvested compared to 30 normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was reported as 20% very poor to poor, 33% fair and 47% good to excellent, about the same as 1 week ago.
77% of soybeans are turning color and 41% are dropping leaves. 1% of soybeans has been harvested and 44% of the crop is rated in good to excellent condition. Average statewide topsoil moisture is rated at 8% very short, 14% short, 55% adequate, and 23% surplus. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
For the first time, Edwards County 4-H has had members named 4-H ambassadors. Four of those ambassadors, Haley Beerster, Ava Anderson, and Emma and Jake Wiseman, appeared on the Community Connection this morning. They shared their thoughts on the honor, and Anderson says they hope to be involved in multiple community projects.
One of the biggest things I liked is that we were the first group to ever do this, so we kind of were able to set the foundation of what was going to happen this year. And we are all going to work together and be involved in our community, not only in 4-H, but in also other like ag programs and organizations. So I was excited to be able to get into my community with 4-H to help 4-H, but also to experience other organizations and things like that.
Anderson says one of the first projects ambassadors will help with is a backpack food program.
The backpack program is actually going through the First United Methodist Church, and the FFA helps unload the truck full of food, and the ambassadors are actually going to help with that too this year. So Edwards County 4-H is going to collect non-perishable items that are going to be put in a backpack and sent home with kids in Edwards County who don't have food at home or are struggling to get meals over the weekend.
The four hope to spread the 4-H influence and have more people join 4-H programs, especially older kids, to serve as an example for younger members. The Fairfield Paintout continues today, as artists are welcome to paint anywhere in Wayne County throughout the morning and early afternoon. The week's first planned painting event will begin later in the afternoon at Javaloo on East Main Street in Fairfield. Artists can check in and have canvases stamped at 4:30, and a quick paint will begin at 5, as Melinda States explains.
They can paint during the daytime anywhere they wish. Then at 5 o'clock, we're doing the quick paint, which is when they, you know, do a painting, have it framed, and delivered to us within 2 hours. And we're doing that in town this year, and we've given them a boundary of where they need to be at, because we know that people in Fairfield like to go see where they're at and what they're painting, and so we've designated that they need to paint on either Main, Delaware, or Center Streets, and they'll be between East 6th and West 6th.
After paintings are brought back to Javaloo at 7, they will be displayed in a pop-up show at 7:30. Supper will be provided to the artists. Today is also the final day for nocturne painting, where artists paint at night. EJ Water Cooperative has been chosen as the winner of the 2019 U.S. Water Alliance Prize Nonprofit Award. The Dietrich-based company was given the honor due to its cross-utility partnership with Wabash Communications in Illinois Fiber Connect. The two entities have partnered to bring water and fiber internet services to rural residents. The U.S. Water Alliance Prize is awarded based on work toward changing how water is viewed, valued, and managed. 6 awards were given in various categories on September 18th in Austin, Texas. Earlier this year, EJ Water was also recognized for its cross-utility partnership as a finalist for Digital Company of the Year in the 2019 Global Water Awards in London. According to a recent map released by the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, areas around Mount Vernon and Carmi are among the 683 census tracts considered, quote, disproportionately impacted by past marijuana enforcement. As a result of the designation, applications to grow and sell marijuana legally would get preference under the law's social equity provision. 2 million people live in areas around the state that had higher than typical rates of arrests, convictions, and incarcerations for marijuana. Yesterday, the state began accepting a new round of applications for marijuana cultivators, dispensaries, and more. Applicants with majority ownership of the proposed enterprise, who have lived in one of these areas for 5 of the past 10 years, or who have been arrested for certain marijuana offenses, will get additional points when the applications are scored. October is National Prevention Month, and with it comes encouragement to update smoke detectors to those that come with a 10-year battery. Fire Safety Alliance Director Phil Zaleski says the benefits start with avoiding buying 9-volt batteries twice a year.
These new alarms cost about $15 a piece. The nice thing about them is that you never have to replace the batteries over the 10-year lifespan of these alarms. Unlike the old school models where you had to replace the 9-volt batteries, which would result in an additional $40 to $60 in battery costs over the 10-year life of the smoke alarm.
In a few years, state law will require people to only buy smoke alarms with a sealed 10-year battery. That's the news. Area deaths next.
Hi, this is Megan Berg with People's National Bank. Do you shop on multiple online websites? Are you tired of having to enter your card number and address for every online purchase? People's National Bank has a solution for you. Visa Checkout allows you to safely shop multiple websites and have multiple shipping addresses with just one username and password. It's simple, speedy, and a safe way to pay online. People's National Bank, member FDIC.
Farming. It's genetics. It's what you are, who you are, what you're made of. It's agronomy, local knowledge of your land and having the tools to put the right product in the right place. It's built on service, with trust, grit, and determination. Because what it takes to make the best product is a lot like what it takes to make a farmer. Golden Harvest, rooted in genetics, agronomy, and service. Talk to your local Golden Harvest seed advisor or visit goldenharvestseeds.com.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 90. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers brought by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial advisor, located at 101 East Delaware, Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 26,016, down 556. The NASDAQ is at 7,750, down 158. November crude oil, it's at $52.35. That is down $1.27. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 82-year-old Wayne City resident Alvin Dale McIntyre died at 7:31 a.m. on Sunday at St. Vincent Hospital in Evansville, Indiana. He was a veteran of the U.S. Air Force. Alvin McIntyre is survived by his wife, Irma Dean, sons Mike McIntyre of Casper, Wyoming, Kimmett McCormick of Wayne City, and Kermit McCormick Jr. of Wayne City, daughters Gloria Larson of Little Rock, Arkansas, and Kerma McCormick of Wayne City, and numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A memorial service for Alvin McIntyre will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, tomorrow, at Olive Branch Missionary Baptist Church in Wayne City. Visitation will be from noon to service time. It is the family's wish that no plants or flowers be sent to them. Cremation rites will be accorded by the Moran Queen Boggs Funeral Home in Centralia, which is in charge of arrangements. 94-year-old Fairfield resident Max Duane Green died at 3:05 p.m. on Monday at Lavender Ridge Memory Care in Mount Vernon. He was a farmer. Max Green is survived by daughters Marilyn Yates of Flora and Cheryl Bassnett of Fairfield, son Max D. Green of Fairfield, 8 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, brothers Bob Green of Ellery, Jack Green of Alton, and Archie Green of Jacksonville, Arkansas, brother-in-law William Harlan of Marion, sister-in-law Rita Matthews of Fairfield, and numerous nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Max Green will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield. Burial will be in Maple Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday at the funeral home. Memorial donations can be made to the New Hope General Baptist Church, and they will be accepted at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home, which is in charge of arrangements. 94-year-old Fairfield resident Doris Irene O'Donnell died Sunday evening at Fairfield Memorial Hospital's Skilled Care Unit. She was a homemaker. Doris O'Donnell is survived by son Don O'Donnell of Diamond, Missouri, daughters Kathy Doty of Indiana, Pennsylvania, and Nancy Miller of Fairfield, five grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. Per Doris O'Donnell's wishes, cremation was provided, and no formal services are scheduled. Memorials can be made to the Ellen Moore United Methodist Church, and they will be accepted at Nail's Funeral Home of Fairfield, which is assisting the family. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and go home the same day? What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and return to driving in 5 days? What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and return to most normal activities in 2 weeks? With Asbury and Associates, you can. Dr. David Asbury is the most experienced surgeon in Southern Illinois performing robotic hysterectomies using the Da Vinci robot. This state-of-the-art technology offers women many benefits over traditional surgery. This minimally invasive procedure requires only small incisions. You'll experience less pain and blood loss with fewer complications. Call Asbury and Associates to learn more about robotic hysterectomies using the Da Vinci robot. 618-244-4800 or visit our website, asburyandassociates.com. Asbury and Associates, with 4 locations in Southern Illinois to serve you. Asbury and Associates. 618-244-4800.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9, Fairfield area weather. For today, sunny skies and a high today of 92. It'll be clear tonight. We're expecting a low of 68 and then partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll have a high of 82. Outlook for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, mostly sunny on Friday. Friday, we'll have a high of 72 and low of 50. It'll be partly cloudy on Saturday. Saturday's high 80 with a low of 58. And then scattered showers are possible on Sunday. Sunday, we'll have a high of 72 and a low of 48.